Today's reading is from John chapter 10, starting at verse 11. You'll find it in the Bibles around on page 1076. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. This is the word of God.
Thanks, Andy. Now, I'm going to do something a bit experimental today, so let's see how it goes. I need three children, ages five plus, six children, age five plus. I'm going to need some volunteers. We're going to do a little exercise. So if anybody, one, two, three, come, please. I need three more. Jocelyn, come, Natty, fine, cool. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to divide you into two groups, Now, and I'm going to give each of you something that you have to think, and you have to make a description of something, So you guys are going to describe what a good shepherd is and what he does, and you're going to describe a bad shepherd and what he does, okay? There is a point to this whole exercise, so whilst they're thinking and chatting between themselves what they're going to say, if you can get your Pew Bibles, page 1076, and just look over the passage a second, because there is a point why I'm asking this question. So do you guys want to have a quick chat between yourselves? Okay, some assistance was being provided, which is absolutely fine. So I'm going to get this group, so give me some pointers about a good shepherd.
He guides them.
He died for them, yes?
And
he guides them. Ah, sorry, I thought he meant he died for them, which would be good as well. As well, guides them.
He makes sure, he's got lots for the sheep to eat and drink.
Okay, good. So nourishment, that's cool.
He protects them.
He protects them, absolutely, yeah. Any more about Good Shepherd? Okay, do you want to say that?
He takes them to places to get good grass to feed on.
Awesome. Okay, so that's good. So we got on this side the Good Shepherd, and tell us about a bad shepherd.
He leaves them alone. He doesn't care for them.
Okay.
He doesn't take them where there's grass. He kind of just leaves them.
He leaves them in brambles to get hurt.
Okay. Okay, thank you, guys. Thank you. Round of applause for our great volunteers. Lovely volunteers. Now, there is a reason I asked this. I did this exercise. Obviously, apart from the fact that children can come up with some weird and wonderful things. When I first read this passage, I was preparing this. And I was intrigued by why Jesus uses the word good. Because he says, I am the good shepherd. I mean, why does he say good? What's the reason why he says good? Could he not just say shepherd? And I know it's a bit awkward question to ask in a family service, but why did he use this phrase, good? So then I started to try to look into the passage and try to kind of piece together why was he saying, I am the good shepherd. And I come up with three different points. I came up with a good old three-point sermon. I'm feeling quite chuffed about that. Because the first one is that I think that in a sense, the reason for being a shepherd is intrinsically tied up with the welfare of your animals. Yeah, I think it comes with the territory of what you're doing, what you reasonably expect. In the same way that you expect, you know, a bus driver to drive the bus carefully, or you would expect an orthopedic surgeon to be able to operate on someone's back and, you know, make it good, or a ship's captain to, you know, guide his ship to port without running aground or sinking in, kind of thing. I guess in modern parlance, you would call this occupational requirements. So you need to be competent with what your profession is. And obviously, if you're a shepherd, you'll be kind of looking after your sheep and you'll be kind of good to your animals. And this is kind of your mission statement, your mission, what is it that you're there to do? And Jesus says what his mission and purpose really was in verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to lay down his life for the sheep, for all of us. And so he came for this specific mission. And if that's not good, then I don't know what is really. And so that's the first aspect, is his mission. And the second aspect, why he says good, is that I think he's placing himself in the passage, definitely, in the wider context of prophecy and all the prophecies of the New Testament about the Messiah. And in particular about kind of King David, that the Messiah was going to be coming from the line of David. And it's very interesting the choice of words that Jesus uses, because he says in verses 12 and 13, the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Now, this is what Jesus said. And I don't think these words were just a throw-off remark. And I remember this slight kind of conversation that David had with King Saul just before he went to attack Goliath. And he says, 1 Samuel chapter 17, Saul replied, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by his hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine would just be like one of them. And Jesus is making this kind of similarity between himself and King David, who even though was looking after his father's sheep, he was willing to get in harm's way for the flock and for the benefit of, they weren't even his animals, they were his father's animals, really. And in the context of the passage, he's speaking to Pharisees, if you read the whole of chapter 10. And I don't think his choice of words was random, because he was kind of already offending them quite significantly by saying, I am, which is kind of the name of God. So he was kind of making quite a strong statement about who he was. And then, additionally, by this kind of this association of the prophetic message, he was putting himself well and truly at the center of this prophetic narrative. Well, one of the things that I've just thought literally when I was just sitting there before service is that, and this is not a perfect image, so don't take this very literally, but it's like the prophetic message was there in the Bible, like a, you know the Rubik's Cube? Like a jumbled up Rubik's Cube. And it was all there throughout the Old Testament. And all of a sudden, when Jesus is born, it's that Rubik's Cube all starts coming into place until the moment he dies, and that's where it's finished, it's fulfilled, and it's all perfect. And this is what Zechariah says. Zechariah was John the Baptist's dad, and he couldn't speak until the time he was born. And then when he says his name is John, he writes on a tablet, he says the following. He said, and there I'm reading from the Message, he set the power of salvation in the center of our lives and in the very house of David his servant, just as he promised long ago through the preaching of his holy prophets. So there is a continuity of this prophetic message that comes through Jesus. And I think that is what he's alluding partly in this message. And the third and final point is about Jesus, I think, is revealing the nature of God. Jesus said in one place, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I believe that Jesus fundamentally reveals the nature of God in what he does and how he lives his life. And when he says good, he is referring to this kind of fundamental and foundational attribute of God, his goodness. And look at what Jesus said to this, something is called the rich young ruler. In Mark chapter 10, he says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus responded, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. That is why he says he is the good shepherd. Because it is in the intrinsic nature of God to be good. And whatever he can do, whatever we can do, he can do so much better. We could never outgood God because his goodness is part of his foundational fabric. It's quite fitting that we're doing communion now, really, because it is a remembrance of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. You get his blood spilled and his body broken for you. And in this sacrament that we're about to partake now, my invitation to you is as you're coming forward, as you're getting the bread and as you're getting the wine, do remember and just thank him for his goodness, because Jesus really is kind of the good shepherd, and in his very nature of being good.